I'm Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie. And in the studio with us is Felipe Verón. Did I get that right?
Oh, you got it better than right.
Oh, yeah. Perfect.
Wow.
And your topic here is urban mobility. Yes. Okay. What is that all about?
That's a relatively new concept.
It's a very new concept. We actually got that name probably about a year or so ago. We didn't have a name for how we're going to call flying cars and the new way to get around cities and suburbs before that. So yeah, it's probably a very old idea. But just recently, many stars started aligning themselves and technologies becoming available and many other sorts of things like the problem, you know, the gridlock getting really, really bad globally. Turns out that this is becoming a new industry. And well, just like aviation and automotive industries have, century-old history, probably urban air mobility with that new name is going to have its same story.
Flesh out the concept a little bit. Are we talking small single-person vehicles? Something like a flying bus? What exactly are we talking about?
Well, all of them. So it's a new way to fly. It's about new types of aircraft that allow to use that airspace, that low-altitude airspace over the cities, actual urban vehicles, to move people around within the cities and city suburbs, and to do it in a much faster way, probably in an on-demand type of way. So it encompasses everything from sports cars or sports flying cars all the way to maybe even buses. Why not? So,
okay, this is definitely Fifth Element here we're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
If well, you've ever seen the movie.
Yeah.
This is strictly a short-range project.
Yes.
You're not going for any, you know, like thousands of miles distance. You're talking, say, within 100 miles?
Well, there are many players in urban air mobility. There's, just like in the automotive industry, if you will, allow me the comparison there. You have the long-haul vehicles, you have the short ones, you have the family vehicles, the individual vehicles. It's going to be the same with urban air mobility. You're going to have the high-altitude vehicles, long-range vehicles, the short-range ones, the low-altitude ones, the individual-use vehicles, and so on, the family vehicles probably. So it's a new industry, and as such, there are many different niches within that industry, right? So we're going to probably have all those.
How do you start eating this elephant?
Well, probably over 20 years ago, I started thinking about how I'm an electrical engineer. So
you can't. You're only 22.
On each side, right?
Yeah.
Since a little boy, the dream of flying. It's been there since I was born. And then when I started my electrical engineering, I started, of course, tinkering with motors and electronics and all these things that were available. And the question arose in me about how I could make a new way to fly. And we started calling those new devices some sort of platform, right? We didn't even have a name. The name, the word drone became popular probably some 10 or 12 years later, which is now very, very popular, you know, the drones. So these new ideas on how to make a simpler way to fly that would be vertical takeoff and landing, you know, VTOL type of approaches to fly to be able to approach the urban environments. Well, since then it grew, and now, like I said before, many stars have aligned, and now it turns out to feel more doable, if you will, something that can actually happen. And there are technologies, very serious manufacturers, subsystems manufacturers, looking at avionics, at motor systems, computer systems, navigation systems, and all sorts of subsystems that are required, all the way from the batteries to the actual airframes of these new vehicles that are able to be produced and actually tested today.
I think the airframe, I think the vehicle itself is the easy part of the picture.
Correct.
It's getting all of these vehicles to play nice in a tight environment.
You can tell that you're from the aeronautics realm, right?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
In my mind.
So, yeah, I mean, it's not about the flying cars themselves. It's about how you put these together into actual ecosystems that are operable and scalable.
And safe.
And that means safety. That means certification. That means public perception, public acceptance. It means everything. So now, that's why it's a new industry.
Yeah, and it's got a lot of room and it's got a lot of work to do.
Well, I'll bring it on.
One question I have is weather.
Yeah.
There's going to be days when you're grounded. So that's, I mean, as far as your system goes, that's not a big deal. But as far as the commuting public that likes to use your system, it becomes a very big deal.
Well, I think that the answer to that is that we honestly don't know yet how all these key performance indicators are going to impact operations. There's many things that we need to learn. And for that reason is that we have chosen to set up a test system before we go into operation. So we have a medium and long-term plan, strategic plan, in which we have decided that we, in our company, in our startup, want to set up a test system, a test urban air mobility, transportation service system, to try this whole thing out, see what the good things are, okay, but what the bad things are, what we need to actually learn that we don't even know about yet.
Right.
So
right.
About weather is one of those things. We don't know. We have to learn about it.
Right.
How we're going to approach it, how it's going to impact our operations, our financials.
Do you envision these as being fully autonomous or piloted?
No. So that's a very interesting question. And autonomy, it's a very broad concept and futuristic. So what we have decided, in my view, is that we need to produce a simple system that we can actually operate today and then start adding layers on top of that. Autonomy, self-driving flying cars, blockchain-based systems, all that sort of futuristic approaches, I think, will happen. But I also think that we're probably decades away from that, because reality in flight is very different than reality, for example, in automobiles. Like self-driving automobiles, that's a totally different story. So I don't think there's going to be self-driving flying cars anytime soon. So our approach is to design an architecture where you have an operator on board. It's not a pilot for viability reasons, but we do want to have an operator for several reasons, among which we have the fear barrier of our customer base that we need to break.
Oh, yeah.
People feel comfortable that there's somebody driving this thing that's flying, right?
Right. Otherwise, that has
not even
their
I would
butt
get
on the line.
There's a responsible person right there next to you who knows what he's doing. Now, we can start adding all sorts of layers on top of that. Autonomy is one of those. But again, I think that's going to come. It will, but we're probably decades away from that.
Yeah, the airspace integration, that is the hot topic right now with mm-hmm. all of the new aircraft and the drones and everything that are coming online. Integration into the airspace is going to be the major hurdle. Vehicles, battery technology, computer power, all of that's pretty much, I won't say standardized, but every part of that is easily adaptable to your purpose. What are you guys going to do about integrating into the airspace?
That's such a cool question, and I want to answer that as simply as possible, and I want to say that we want to go around the problem. So, by all means, when you think about an aircraft, you think about several paradigms, and one of those paradigms is air traffic control, or sharing the controlled airspace, which poses a huge problem for new types of vehicles, and especially when you want to have massive amounts of people being transported in an urban scenario in that way. So what we have proposed is an architecture where we are not flying in controlled airspace. In other words, we are not communicating with ATC. We're flying low enough to both make it comfortable for regular people, but also to not invade controlled airspace. So we're setting up an airspace integration architecture in which we have very predetermined, call them virtual lanes. These are paths that are pre-established with actual physical coordinates that the drivers must follow and drive within to go from vertiport A to vertiport B and transport people between those vertiports. Remember, we're proposing a transportation service with our flying cars, our vertiports, our drivers, and people would use these on-demand systems to move from cities in just minutes, which would otherwise take probably hours.
Right, it's
in many
like
cases.
Air Uber.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
So
he probably doesn't like that comparison.
No.
Well, it's not a comparison. It would be more like a competitors.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's cool because that's what it is. And Uber is well recognized, and we appreciate the fact of such an innovative company democratizing transportation as the way Uber did. So that for us is a huge comparison that.
You have to live with
about.
Right now, yeah.
No, honored about on the opposite. Now, going back to the airspace integration, we are setting up this test system in a confidential country, which is not the U.S. Even though we are a U.S. startup, we're a U.S. company, we chose strategically to implement this test system in a different country where we have a whole bunch of strategic advantages. One of those advantages is being able to overcome these boundaries, such as airspace integration, in a much, much faster way. And even though we're collaborating with NASA, with the FAA, we're collaborating heavily also with MIT and other aerospace corporations, U.S. aerospace corporations, we chose to establish this first system in another country where we are working very closely with their central government, with their aeronautics authorities, and together with them, we are developing this architecture, and we're designing these virtual lanes over actual cities. And the whole purpose there is to be able to think outside of the box in a much faster way, in a much more flexible way.
Yeah, because if you're trying to set this up in this country, you're going to get mired down in paperwork and government agencies. If you go overseas, they could streamline it for you. You have a little more flexibility.
And that flexibility is very important, because even though these are mature countries with mature aeronautics systems and aeronautics industries, they do have a much worse mobility problem than what is experienced in the U.S. In the U.S., we do have, you know, the traffic problem, loss of time. But in other countries, we people experience a much heavier impact in their quality of life, with defectuous infrastructure, with high pollution, much higher noise levels, stress levels, criminality, higher accident rates, and so on. So the fact that these countries have a much, much worse mobility problem serves as a test bed to be able to be open about finding new ways and new solutions for that problem, which is what we're doing.
And the fact that there's less government intervention allows you to try out new ideas much quicker.
But you see, not necessarily less government intervention. Intervention can be the same, similar or the same. It's about smaller states. I don't want to necessarily say less bureaucracy, because that's a global problem. But definitely much more flexible, among other advantages. And that takes us to the cost part of it, which is
very, very important.
Right. So we have chosen to learn about this new business in another country. We are much ahead in that. For example, we are probably the first and only company, as far as we are aware of, that actually has an airspace assigned to it to do flying car exercises, you know, traffic management exercises. And that's part of a plan that we have together with the local aeronautics authorities towards the end of having actual tests with our real manned and real-sized flying cars.
Well, where can we find out more about what you're doing?
Yeah, you're welcome to visit us in our website. That's www.varonvehicles.com. You'll find also a whole bunch of content. Just Google our name. Hopefully some cool things will show up. Otherwise, feel free to contact us in our info@varonvehicles.com email, and we're happy to talk to people, share what we're doing. We're extremely happy to be here at the Oshkosh Air Show 2019, and part of it is as a guest speaker at the UAM Forum, which is happening later today. And this is part of us trying to communicate with the world about what we're doing.
I want to thank you again. And you've been listening to Felipe Varon. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie. And this is EAA Radio.